If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
He's guilty. He knows he's lying. Otherwise, why can't he look at me? I survived. I survived that man, and I'm here, and I'm able to look at him.
Oh, my God, this has become a soap opera. So more on that in just a second.
Moron is right. Anyway. Coming up, one of the great scholars of our time, who happens to be a black man, talking about racism has too many definitions. The term racism, we need another term. Let's stop throwing that word around about everything. Amen. Hallelujah. His words of wisdom coming up.
Maybe it's because I got so much going on in my personal life right now. I'm enjoying the distraction of the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial, which is growing as a cultural phenomenon. I sense, and there are some indications of, as I mentioned last hour, now there is a black market with high dollar value going to anybody who can get a ticket, or however they do it, lottery system, to be a member of the crowd inside the courtroom, because it's becoming this cultural touchstone. It's the car wreck you can't look away from if you start looking at it at all. And this, to help justify my coverage of this, Americans care more about Depp versus Heard than war, abortion, or inflation, according to a new look at media interactions with articles that go across from a news company that does this sort of thing.
Oh, wow. It's like porn and pot was back in the day. There are a hell of a lot more people into it than are admitting they're into
it. Right. That's why I think it's interesting that to look at it this way. So this data firm that takes a look at the number of media interactions with stories. So stuff people are actually reading versus, like you're just saying, what they might claim they care about. There's almost 5 times as much engagement in articles pertaining to the Depp Heard trial than articles about abortion, 10 times as much about articles about COVID. That doesn't surprise me. And even more than
10 times COVID obsessives. Keep that in mind.
Yeah. So here are the highest based on social interactions, which is kind of interesting. Heard Depp at the top, then Elon Musk. Then you get down to Joe Biden, abortion, Russia, Ukraine, inflation. COVID is at the very bottom, by the way, of people that are actually reading this stuff or whatever. Anywho. So, and you can understand, I mean, if people are going to watch soap operas, which millions of people do, if people are going to watch dramas in the evening that are serious dramas about family strife, if people are going to watch movies about family strife, why wouldn't you watch this? This is real life, and it's as strifeful as you can get.
Well, and they're rich and famous and part of the crew that lectures us about how we live our lives, so it's kind of extra delicious in that way.
Yeah, so Real quick outline, just in case you don't know. Johnny Depp, one of the most famous actors in the world, worth $600 million, I think. She, years ago, claimed that somebody she was in a relationship with beat her once, or several times. He says that everybody knew she was talking about him and that that damaged his career. So he's suing her for $55 million?
Something like that, for defamation.
An insane amount of money. Yesterday, they got into recordings of some of their fights as she was being cross-examined on the stand. And let's hear a little of that. Then I can fill in some of the details, so because I don't know how easy it is to hear or understand all of this.
I wish I hadn't bought into any of your fucking lies, your bullshit, your sober fucking presence, your fucking goodness, your sweetness, all the lies. I wish I hadn't bought into the months of you being you. I wish I hadn't bought into your promises. I wish I hadn't fucking thought I could have kids with you. You're a fucking kid yourself. I wish I hadn't bought into any of the lies you sold. Talk about fake bill of goods. You're the biggest fucking producer. You're the biggest fucking seller of fake fucking bill of goods. Talk about presenting yourself as something.
I did myself
as
a fake.
Suck my
good.
Suck my
You've left nothing, and I've left everything. So suck your. My
yeah.
Go on. Oh. Which is probably your next move, because it's what you need. No, I don't want to suck your. I want nothing to do with your.
Because I really need something.
We'll go get it, man.
Because I need something.
Okay, so.
Boy, they both need a ghostwriter for one thing. That is some. Inelegant speech.
So I mean, she's trying to encourage him to S her D, which is an interesting.
What? Wait, what?
It's kind of funny to me that he sounds in real life, in their own home, in the midst of a fight, exactly like he sounds on the stands with that kind of weird, like, accent or affect. I don't even know what that is, way he talks.
He doesn't have a chance because she's a fast talker and he's a slow talker.
Fecal matter.
So she keeps, you know, outfoxing him.
Jurors in the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp bombshell trial were played audio clips of the troubled couple's foul-mouthed arguments, including one in which...
Why? What are we doing here?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we're doing.
All right.
When the actress repeatedly tells Depp to S her D in a 6-minute long recording in which both Depp and Heard are somewhat incoherent at times, the two have a bitter argument about their frayed relationship and hurl insults at one another. You just heard part of it there, where she said, "You're effing kidding yourself. I wish I hadn't bought into any of the lies you sold." Now, one of the problems with this whole thing is, you know, it's all in the eye of the beholder on who's wronged who wronged who first, who's phony, who's real. I mean, just all this sort of stuff. In another clip, Heard accuses her then husband of using his children, Jack and Lily Rose, against her, telling him, "You're making me see you worse." The recordings were entered into evidence by Depp's attorney. I guess the point of Depp's attorney playing this is, okay, she came off as kind of polished and like a mature and adult and the victim of... Let's see her being a little crazy. You think that's what the point is?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Talk about a fake bill of goods, Heard says in the 6-minute clip. Talk about presenting yourself as something you're not. Depp, meanwhile, calls Heard a spoiled effing brat. This is the part I really like. The two take jabs at each other's careers, with Heard calling Depp a joke and a washed-up piece of ass. Then he says, "Yeah, I'm a joke in the industry, Amber." He replies dryly adding, "Your jealousy is so tragic." Heard also takes aim at Depp's iconic role in the 1980s TV show 21 Jump Street.
Oh, now we're talking.
Telling him,
wow, she must have been way down deep in her bag of insults. I mean, having used up all the good ones, this is, what do I have left in here?
Having told him, "Hey, at least I didn't do like a teeny show where I'm a heartthrob. God, that would be like embarrassing." What a weird insult.
Boy, the two of them. You know what? All right, Your Honor. Wait a minute. I'm Your Honor in this. Your Honor. I would bring down the gavel. I'd say, "All right, look, both of you. I'm sentencing you both. This isn't a criminal trial. Shut up! You're both guilty, and I'm sentencing you to live together in a cell for 1 week."
Cruel and unusual!
Yeah, well,
No, it's exactly it's exactly like Saturday Night Live portrayed it, where one of the lawyers says, "No, this is immaterial. What are we doing here?" And the judge says, "Yeah, it probably is, but I'm strangely fascinated. So let's go ahead and watch this." I mean, that's seems to be what's going on here. Anyway, because I don't want to lose the thread of this, because the punchline is coming.
Oh boy,
she jumps on him for having been on 21 Jump Street. At least I didn't do like a teeny show where I'm a heartthrob, which is a weird attack. So he's a young guy and he's in a giant successful hit that propels him to stardom. That's a insult. How? He shouts back, "Aquaman," in a mocking tone, referring to Herb's role in the blockbuster. Oh,
the God, embarrassing failure blockbuster.
That is hilarious.
Aquaman.
Here's these two gazillionaires who have both been successful enough to have many millions of dollars, insulting each other's careers, and she goes with 21 Jump Street, and he says, "Aquaman," in a mocking tone as his shot. That is hilarious.
Wow, the two of them are like 12-year-olds.
That's what your fights are like? Over what roles you had in what movies and whether or not that was a cool show or not? Oh, my God. The actress
is truly, literally pathetic.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
what a couple of dopes.
And I doubt there's anybody listening who's not at some point in their life been drugged down in an argument into saying things that just are dumb in retrospect.
What now? But perish the thought.
But you got to be able to walk away from something like criticizing your early TV show career. I mean, just Aquaman, hello. I mean, that just...
Well, what God. The whole trend of women saying S my D.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to end.
I like it.
No, you don't get to unless you got one.
The actress's tone appears by turns taunting and mocking, and her expletive-laden tirade is often interrupted by bouts of wild laughter, which Depp calls out as fake and disgusting. At one point, Heard tells Depp to leave, saying, "Is there no other place for you to run? Maybe one of your other 15 houses to go to? Why don't you go to one of your other houses?" Which is an interesting thing to say also.
Wow.
In the recording, the first few moments of which were inaudible, Heard apologizes to Depp for screaming at him in front of his kids. That's a good part to play, because then that puts you on the, okay, you don't always keep your cool either. You're not always perfect either. That's a pretty good one, because she's Heard apologizing. "Sorry I screamed in front of your kids, who were younger at the time. I'm sorry. I effed your kids up," she says in the conversation. "It was pretty effing weird for them, you know," Depp replies.
It looked like they were on the verge of some real communication there.
The conversation quickly deteriorated, and Heard accused Depp of using his children unfairly against her. "Your characters become so clear, especially when you use your kids," etc., etc.
I got a question for the attorneys listening, particularly those of you involved in civil suits. Because, I mean, and I've mentioned this more than once, the very question being decided here, we've gone past that weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the conclusion is foregone to me. I mean, there's no way the jury can decide, there's absolutely no chance he raised his hand to her. I mean, couldn't possibly.
At this point, it's just a continuation of that conversation in a courtroom.
Right, exactly. So my question for the attorneys is, if this went on for another, say, 5 years, and they were continuing to play tapes of people hurling insults back and forth and accusing each other of, I don't know, leaving the toilet seat up or right, burning the steaks on the grill or whatever. I mean, and it's like the year 2027, and they're still bitching at each other in open court. Can't the judge at some point say, all right, that's enough? The two of you, stop it. You lawyers, shut up. We got to get this to the jury. Why hasn't that happened at this point?
Just to put this conversation to bed, which somebody pooped in, I really like this cross-examination point right here.
"You would harangue him.
I would try to.
Is that
to,
correct? You would harangue him."
So what the hell does that mean? The Depp's lawyer cross-examined, "You would harangue him, didn't you? I don't know. Answer yes or no. Did you harangue him?" Okay. I don't know. I cajoled him, but I'm not sure I harangued him. I mean,
I may have badgered him, but I don't think I harangued him.
You harangued him. What the hell is that? And if your husband or wife says take out the garbage the third time, is that haranguing? The first two times were okay. I mean,
you would harangue him.
We're really down to some pretty nonsensical conversations here, as Joe was pointing out.
Like I say, hey, Judge, are you conscious?
Oh, great. The dishes are dirty again. You walk in the kitchen. Is that haranguing? Is that for a criminal court, or is that part of every relationship practically that's ever existed?
Well, the jury.
Oh, man.
The jury is the arbiter of fact, Jack, so the jury has to decide whether that's haranguing, which is not the question in front of them anyway.
Good.
I just don't get this.
Good stuff. More on the way.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I must say, a quick for the record, just scanning my memory, I have not taken the bait in an argument in many, many, many years. And I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's one of the few benefits of age, I think.
And low T.
And low T. No T in my case. Yeah, you're just not as quick to anger. And I'm grateful for that, honestly.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, don't even get me started. Anyway, so coming up, a discussion of the idea of replacement theory or great replacement theory, depending on who's calling it what, that was obsessing the mind of the psychotic 18-year-old who shot those poor people in Buffalo. And the question of what that is and isn't it, if you were to take particularly dry terms, isn't it encouraging demographic change for political purposes, which is something people talk about all the time?
Right.
So, and how do you draw the line exactly?
They cheer it.
Well, wait a minute. They do? Well, wait a minute now. That changes everything. So we'll talk about that next segment. Speaking of race and race relations, John McWhorter is a linguist with Columbia University. He's a brilliant man. He happens to be a black man. And he wrote a piece recently, and we'll post the entirety of it at armstrongandgetty.com for you, but I'll summarize it very briefly. He's talking about the horrific shooting in Buffalo and racism. And the headline of the column is, racism has too many definitions. We need another term. And he says, among other things, that people like him who tend to think in subtleties are constantly accused of thinking there is no racism or racism doesn't exist. He points out the absurdity of that as an older black man. Clearly, racism is not over in the United States. I have reason to suppose, however, that there are more than a few who think that I am not aware of this, and he goes into it. But then he gets into the key aspect of this piece, the key difference between outright bigotry and the more abstract operations of what we call systemic racism is, and yes, there is a synergy between the two, but as the difficulty in our conversations attests, there's a wide gulf between personal prejudice, let's call it racism 1.0, and societal and socio-historical operations that render black physicists, for example, rare relative to black people's proportion of the population, meaning there aren't as many black physicists as you'd think when blacks are 12% of the population. So, for instance, racism, let's call that racism 2.0. Sometimes even referred to as white supremacy or systemic racism. In an alternate universe, those two things might not go under the same name, he says. On racism 1.0, the lamentable thing I see is that I see no reason it will ever completely vanish, not least in our lifetimes. That's the way human beings are, and it cuts in all directions. Okay? Racism 1.0 is awful. It's regrettable. And he recognizes it happens all the time. You know, less than it used to, as he says, this country, this habit noticeably gained traction of looking deeply and self-monitoring to make sure you're not being racist, really took traction in the 1960s and has been doing quite well. But then he talks about the so-called systemic racism, black kids not doing as well as in school, lower achievement scores, whatever. He says, look, call that racism 2.0 if you want. We need to find a better word for it. But you can believe racism 1.0 exists and not believe 2.0 should be called racism. You know, I didn't get time. This damn segment's too short. The punchline right after the break. Don't go away.
Armstrong.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And get it. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
So I apologize profoundly that I didn't quite get done summarizing one of the great thinkers of our time's 10-minute thought into a 2-minute segment. I failed, and I couldn't finish it. But John McWhorter, scholar, Columbia University linguist, black man, is talking about how there's racism, obvious racism. We all know it when we see it. And then there are the unequal outcomes among different people in this country and around the world, and that the left in particular calls those white supremacy or systemic racism. He's a guy, by the way, who hates the idea that, like, achieving or showing up on time is white supremacy. He thinks that's idiotic. But to boil down his philosophy, and this is so useful for you and me, what he's saying is, absolutely, there is racism. But what you're pointing to is not racism. I realize that seems like so simple it's useless, but think about it. Of course there's racism and it's terrible, but what you're talking about is not racism. If they're talking about there not being enough black physicists, right, or whatever, maybe that's a problem that ought to be worked on. Maybe we can look into it, but it's not racism. Have the confidence to say that. Racism is racism, and it's abhorrent. The rest of this stuff ain't.
Wish he could be heard by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, the horrifying shooting at the grocery store in Buffalo over the weekend, 10 people dead. The crazy dude, and he was crazy, with his long, rambling manifesto that included wanting to kill blacks.
Wanting to kill himself?
Wanting to kill himself, wanting to kill his classmates at one time, killed and mutilated a neighborhood cat, which he describes in graphic detail. He was a nut job. But anyway, we've decided to go with the theme of, apparently, at least according to a lot of the media coverage, that it's white supremacy that believes in great replacement theory. And as a matter of fact, Joe Biden brought it up yesterday during his visit to Buffalo.
The hate that through the media and politics, the internet, has radicalized angry, alienated, lost, and isolated individuals into falsely believing that they will be replaced, that's the word, replaced by the other. And I condemn those who spread the lie for power, political gain, and for profit.
Who's he talking about? Well, he didn't name names, as MSNBC yesterday was saying, I wish President Biden would just name names and call out Fox News and call out Tucker Carlson for pushing the great replacement theory. Okay, well, so what are they talking about there? Is Tucker Carlson pushing the great replacement theory? If he has, I haven't heard it. The great replacement theory that this crazy kid believed in is that Jews are orchestrating, pulling strings somehow to make sure more brown people come into the country and replace whites to give Jews more power or something like that. That's specifically what that kid believed in, and a lot of your 4chan QAnon crowd apparently believes. But that's not what Tucker Carlson's been talking about for a long time. He's been talking about the changing demographics of the country and how the Democratic Party has been cheering that for years, as you'll hear here.
Blue wave is African American.
Yeah!
It's white, it's Latino, it's Asian Pacific Islander. Yes. It is made up of those who've been told that they are not worthy of being here.
Yes.
It is comprised of those who are documented and undocumented.
In a couple of presidential cycles, you'll be on election night, you'll be announcing that we're calling the 38 electoral votes of Texas for the Democratic nominee for president. It's changing, it's going to become a purple state and then a blue state because of the demographics.
The demographics of America are not on the side of the Republican Party. The new voters in this country are moving away from them. And instead, they're moving to be independents or to even vote on the other side.
An unrelenting stream of immigration. Nonstop. Nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that one racial group is getting smaller while another one is getting bigger. Why? I would never say that out loud. Well, I would never think that. It's an abhorrent thing to think.
Absolutely agree.
And to say out loud. And because I have been living in California for the past quarter century, it's been huge here. Our entire talk radio career, we've had numerous Democratic governors cheering when the line was finally crossed. We're finally, for the first time in California, whites are no longer the majority. Woo! I remember people standing up in front of cheering crowds saying that and thinking, how am I supposed to react to this as a white person? Why are you cheering that whites are no longer the majority? I wouldn't cheer if you said whites are still the majority. I wouldn't cheer that. That would be weird.
Well, and what is the cheering about?
Exactly. What is
what
the cheering about?
What motivates it?
So if you're cheering the fact that whites are no longer the majority, do you have something planned I should know about? Or is there something about to change that I should know about? I mean, what exactly is going on here? And, of course, the ultimate thing being, if I react negatively to you cheering that my race is about to become less influential, that makes me a bad person?
Well, and just in the physics of human interaction, what is the equal and opposite reaction? It would be, you'd think, I don't want that to happen. If you're saying you want what's bad for me, I don't like that.
So I came across this great Twitter thread. I thought he summed it up pretty well from a smart guy talking about this. He said, I see this dishonesty, so let's address this. The claim that white people will be a minority in the near future is a fact. It is, of course. Mm-hmm. The claim that demographics equals destiny and Democrats are advantaged by those changes, in my opinion, is wrong, said the guy. And I agree.
I think that's true, too.
I don't think this way it's going to work out. But as he said, but it's a mainstream belief by pundits on both sides. The Republican Party has been worried about for years, and the Democratic Party has been cheering for years the browning of America and how whites will soon be the minority. Both parties believe this. So if this is being discussed openly by both parties as a significant thing, a significant political change, well, then why wouldn't I be interested in it? Again, you're cheering the disappearing of my race, so I feel like I ought to pay attention to that. But this guy goes on to say, now the idiotic white supremacist conspiracy known as GRT, Great Replacement Theory, is essentially that there is a specific group usually blamed on the Jews that is trying to force these demographic changes to undermine white culture and institutions. We shouldn't be mainstreaming and normalizing GRT by conflating it with the beliefs from the first tweet about the demographics. They are not the same thing, and it's dangerous to pretend otherwise, even if pretending so allows you to score political points.
This is what I was trying to say the other day about claiming that all white people are racists, and that is, be careful, you're going to create racists. If you label every person who says, why are you cheering at one ethnic group gaining population and one losing population? That's weird. If you call everybody who reacts that way a grand replacement theory lunatic and probably a murderer, probably would have shot people in Buffalo if they'd gotten a chance, you're going to create lunatics because you've told them they're the same thing. You're lecturing people over and over again that if you have a reasonable view of these questions, you're actually a dangerous lunatic. You're trying to convince them of that. You might be successful.
And actually, there are a whole bunch of tweets that Tucker was reading last night. Well, here's one of them right here. This was from Jennifer Rubin. She is the writer with the New York Times, right? Tweeting about a more diverse, more inclusive society as whites become the minority. This is fabulous news. Now we need to prevent minority white rule. It is a white journalist talking about how it's fabulous news that white people are about to become the minority. I find to be so strange and just an odd conversation to have at all. We shouldn't be cheering or be scared of, there shouldn't be any reason to be scared of, the changing demographics, but they're presenting it as obviously important.
And obviously racial. And not ideological, racial.
I mean, I think it's bad all the way around. It's really some sort of weird self, I don't know what it is, the number of white journalists and politicians I've seen on stages cheering the disappearance of white people. What?
Why don't we quote one of the great black scholars in America right these days, Shelby Steele, in a moment or two after a quick word from our friends at Simply Safe Home Security, the best option to protect you from break-ins, from junkies stealing your stuff, taking your packages off your porch, from fire if you live in a high fire zone, from flooding. Simply Safe's 24/7 professional monitoring center is one of the big differences. It's better, it's simpler, it's less expensive.
Yeah, so it helps you in all kinds of different ways. We talked a lot about the cameras. We told the story about the woman who went away for her daughter's wedding, and Simply Safe system caught the fact that there was a leak in her basement so she could get the water turned off fast before there was who knows how much damage would have been done. Lots of help from Simply Safe, and it's less than a dollar a day. There are no long-term contracts or hidden fees ever.
Check out the wireless outdoor camera, high def, night vision, see the face, see the license plate if anybody threatens your place. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/Armstrong. Go today, claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off with interactive monitoring. Go to simplysafe.com/Armstrong.
We have been talking about this topic for years because, like I said, it happened first in California where whites became the minority, and the cheering around it has always seemed so weird to me.
Well, it's so obviously racist.
What could be possibly more racist than you want a particular race to shrink or disappear? That's crazy. If I said we need less black people or we need less brown people, not only
I was going to say, can you imagine if there was a city council meeting where it was announced, folks, good news, we have 5% fewer black people in our town, and everybody stood up and cheered. How would that be greeted, fans, folks, people?
Right, and this overwhelming acceptance of cheering the disappearance of white people is, well, one, racist, and two, weird. It's just weird. Who thinks that way?
Sickos do. On the other hand, you have the brilliant Shelby Steele, scholar, writer. Why don't we take a quick break and come back with his words of wisdom?
Cool. Like that. Next.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll tell you, I think it's fascinating. The whole retreating, self-hating American thing that exists with some people, including expanding it to the racial element, the number of white politicians I've seen in front of cheering crowds cheering the fact that the white population is shrinking. I find that very strange. Has there ever been a time in the history of the world where an ethnic group cheered the fact that they're shrinking in influence?
No, and it is very strange. It's funny, during the commercial break, I, as usual, assumed the lotus position and was contemplating the questions of our time. And I was reminded
that's
of
what you do during the commercials? I pee.
I'm reminded of the parable of the emperor's new clothes and how there are some ideas that are so stupid only an intellectual could hold them. And if you asked a child about them, they would say, no, that's clearly not true. I mean, for instance, the idea that racism can only cut one way. I mean, right. It's just, yeah. It's utterly idiotic.
Yeah.
only an intellectual or a college professor could believe that. And so the idea that only white people could harbor racist ideas, or once white people are no longer in the majority, we'll usher in a great era of understanding and peace is hilarious.
Yeah, well, anyway. I actually looked up the Gallup numbers. They asked this question a while back. Most Americans say the declining share of white people in the United States is neither good nor bad for society, which is the right answer. That's what I think. Sure. I never think about it. It's not something to think about. I only care what people's political views are and their thoughts. I don't care about their color. I find that interesting. But if you break it down among young liberals, it's a third of young Democrats who say that white people declining is good for society.
Wow. Racist.
That is flat out 100% racist.
Where does that come from? The great Shelby Steele in clip 40, Michael.
One of the most powerful forces in American life today is white guilt.
Yeah.
And guilt puts sort of, you know, you have to seem to be going against your own self-interest to gain that expiation, that redemption that white guilt basically seems to long for. And it seems to me that they're caught in that, and at this point, and it's taking us nowhere. You can't resolve guilt.
And so, why is white guilt hammered so constantly in politics these days? Next clip.
Part of the problem that I think that's happened to the left is that they've become exhausted. Their ideas have gotten. We've been driven by those ideas now since at least the 60s. They fail unrelentingly. I mean, they fail with a kind of absolute precision. And that's where they're at. They're desperate.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. That's right. I meant to mention the John McWhorter piece that I was quoting from. We have that under hot links at armstrongandgetty.com if you want to read the whole thing. His conclusion, and he's a brilliant man, uses a lot of phony words, is it's okay to say, yes, there's racism, but what you're pointing at isn't racism.
So I got something really troubling and sad. Maybe this is a good place to put it at the end of an hour so we can move on. But I don't know, it struck me. And so the kid that murdered all those people, he's obviously mentally ill. If you've read any of the segments from his manifesto, I mean, he tortured and mutilated a cat, and he talks about it and how he had no feelings when he did it and all that sort of stuff. It's just, he had all kinds of problems. Anyway, he says that at this one point, one of the paragraphs is this. My parents know little about me. They don't know about the hundreds of silver ounces I've had. I don't know what that means. Or the hundreds of dollars I spent on ammo. They don't know that I spent close to $1,000 on random military S. They don't know I even own a shotgun or an AR-15 or illegal magazines. Promise me, this is the part that's rough, promise me that if you have a child, you will be there and you will be close, be a friend to your child, and make sure they know that you will always help them. Talk about their problems and ways to solve it and never make them feel bad for coming to you.
Wow. Wow.
Now, I say this as the parent of someone with a variety of problems. Maybe they were, maybe they did. And it just didn't register or whatever. Parenting is very, very difficult. Parenting a kid with issues is even more difficult. So I have no idea what was going on in there. I don't have the information to cast any blame. But that's what was in that kid's mind at the time.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, promise me in his manifesto that you will stay close to your kids so you know what their troubles are and they won't feel bad about coming to you.
Whew. Wow, and this guy who was fixated on something else the previous year and just then got drawn into this whole 4chan thing because he couldn't go to school because schools in New York were closed, latches onto this crazy white supremacist garbage, and he many times expressed doubt and fear and whether hurting anybody was a good idea or if he should just commit suicide.
Right.
I'm not proud to kill these lads. In fact, I'm desperately looking for a sign or evidence proving that I shouldn't.
He did. And you can't. And then to make it as simple as Tucker Carlson talks about great replacement theory and it encouraged blah, 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 is really simplifying a very, very complicated issue.
Well, Well, the one thing it's not is an honest and open-hearted attempt to find solutions or to even diagnose the problem. The one thing it is just raw, ugly politics.
If you miss an hour of this show, you can grab the podcast. You can get it at armstrongandgetty.com or just search on Armstrong and Getty on demand. That's a pretty good way to find it.
Next hour will be lighter-hearted than this segment. It has to be because everything is.
Yeah, it would be difficult to top this hour.
And I don't want to.
I don't want to either.
All right.
See you later.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.